Well, if you've never thought of Washington County, New York as wine country, hey, it's time to start thinking. So just slap that into your brain. In the last decade, intrepid enthusiasts have been working very hard. They've been planting vines and honing their vintner skills. Their hard work and dedication to craft have produced award-winning wines and destination tasting rooms all over the county. It is certainly a place where there's very high quality and a good price. And you know what? They're just really nice, friendly people. So on November 14th, from 2 to 6, four local vineyards will gather at the Greenwich Free Library. The public is invited to taste their amazing variety of wines and choose their favorites for holiday meals or gift giving or just to, quite frankly, have for yourself. Local food and wine expert Josh London will walk folks through the basics of buying wine. And also, two vintners will be at the event as well. Andrew Weber of Northern Cross Vineyard will be there, as will Jerry Barnhart of Victory View Vineyard. And both gentlemen join us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. Also joining us is Annie Miller, who is the director of the Greenwich Free Library. Good morning. Good to see you.
Joe.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's very nice to have you. So when did we start to think of Washington County as wine country?
Probably about 2008 or 2009 was when the first vines that I'm aware of were planted in the county. And we've been gradually expanding ever since then. Started out with one operation just outside of Cambridge. We planted our first vines at Victory View Vineyard in 2008. Americi Vineyard planted their first vines, I believe, in 2006. And Andy, you planted your first vines?
Yep, ours were in 2011. And really what it stems from is that all the work that University of Minnesota did, and Cornell University too, to get grapes that A, can survive the cold weather, as well as produce right. quality wines. And that's what Jerry has brought today.
All right. So what does that mean as far as getting the grapes ready? So we have rough winters, or we can. Mm-hmm. We have. We probably will again.
Yep.
So what can these grapes withstand, Jerry?
So they're so-called French American hybrid grapes. They start out as a cross between a classic European wine grape and a native North American grape. And those hybrids are both much more winter hardy, and they're also more disease resistant because their native North American parent co-evolved with the grape diseases we have around here. There's a lot of great things about Washington County, but it's just too cold there to grow classic European wine grapes. They simply won't survive our winters.
Yeah.
These hybrids, most of which are rather new.
We barely survive our winters.
There you go. These rather new hybrids, though, are very winter hardy and will take temperatures down to 25 or 30 or even more degrees below zero.
So is it one grape that we're talking about, or can you still have a Merlot grape for a Merlot, a Chardonnay, for, you know what I mean?
So the varieties that we grow, and there are several, probably collectively among our different vineyards, there are 8 or 9 different varieties that we're growing. They all have their own name. Sort of our featured grape in the region is a red grape called Marquette, and that was developed at the University of Minnesota and released commercially in 2006, so it's really a pretty new grape, but it's very quickly catching on in northern grape-growing regions, and it's expanding grape-growing regions because it is so winter hardy.
So I have this, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have this vision in my mind of like these just professors in a lab coming up with, we have to bring the wine grape to Washington County. How do we do that? So, I mean, how do you do that?
So it's a really long, time-consuming process.
Okay.
Most of the varieties we grow.
It's legal.
It's legal.
Okay.
And tightly regulated, but it is legal.
Okay. Legal, and it's also all natural.
Correct.
Okay. It's not genetically.
We're not genetic engineering. It's okay. The same thing that High Mowing Seed Company, which is an organic vegetable seed company, might do to develop new varieties of carrots or of tomatoes by crossing different varieties.
Okay. Now, you just handed me the most I don't know. I haven't seen anything since college. This is a graph. And what does this show me?
That's the parentage of the grape Marquette. And what it shows is about 15 generations of breeding with many different varieties of grapes being brought into the process to produce the final product, which we now know as Marquette.
Did you know this?
I didn't know any of this stuff.
Okay. Well, and you're the librarian. Okay. So
that's why I'm doing my research.
I know you are doing your research. So let us talk about so once you have the grapes, then how long does it take? This is a fairly long process to get up and running from the time you plant the vines to the time that you can say, hey, we're going to start making wine.
Sure, it is. It takes about 3 years after you plant before you can get your first harvest. So for the first two growing seasons after you plant grapevines, you actually walk through the vineyard and physically pinch off any flowers that they set so that they can't create fruit. That way the vine puts all of its energy into developing the root system and developing the main trunk of the vine. The third growing season, you can leave some flowers on and let them set some fruit and then begin the winemaking process.
So, Andrew, how did you get
How did I get started in all this? Well, first off, I mean, it's I always say, I'm not the brightest guy in the world to start this. It was always a fantasy. I mean, who wouldn't want a vineyard in their own backyard, right?
Right.
And then it was just to say, okay, how do you do agriculture here and make it sustainable and make it reasonably profitable? And this is one way of doing it.
Now, where are you located?
Just down the road. So it's fundamentally south of Willard Mountain, but within 2 miles of Jerry, 2 miles of Americi, and 3 miles of Natural Selection, the other folks that are going to be there on Saturday.
Okay. And so what type of area does it take? Because you're, if I'm thinking right of where you are on the hill, you're sort of up on a big hill off to the left there.
We're on gently rolling hills, and
gently rolling hills. Yeah.
You want terrain that's slow.
The tourist people have gotten a hold of you.
Yeah. So you want terrain that has slope but not so steep that you can't work it with a tractor. And what you want the slope for is to promote air movement in the vineyard. And you want that to happen for a couple of reasons. One, grapes can be susceptible to late spring frosts. And if you have flat ground or low spots where cold air can collect during a frost, your vines can be damaged after they start to grow in the spring. So with slope sites, the cold air drains off just the way water would, and you don't need to worry so much about spring frost. And with sloping sites, you also get good air movement after a rain, which helps to dry the vines out. Most of the grape diseases we have to worry about are fungal diseases, and fungal diseases just love wet conditions. So having good air movement helps to dry out, helps to minimize the disease potential.
So I was going to ask you, what are the challenges? So challenges are what all challenges are for anybody growing anything, and that's weather.
Very much so. Yeah. I was talking to one of the other vineyards this past weekend, and he said, you know, this is something that I realize I've got absolutely no control over now is the weather.
Yeah. And it's erratic, of course. So when it comes to all of you, and you, how do I say this politely? You can start pouring now. you're all in this together, right? I mean, it's not like a competition thing of, oh no, there's another vineyard opening up. You're all in this supporting.
Fundamentally, realize that there is this sort of ecosystem that we need to have for us to draw folks to come up and see all the vineyards, because they're not going to come for just one vineyard, right? They've got to be able to come up and see several vineyards and enjoy a part of a day or some of a day traveling between them.
You have to have a region to bring people in.
Yep.
And so 15 wineries being developed in the region.
In the Upper Hudson Valley Wine Trail, yeah, we now have 15 commercial wineries or vineyards either in operation or soon to be in operation.
And that goes below Albany all the way as far north as
Lake George Village.
Lake George, yeah. Yep. That's great. Okay, so what are we tasting here?
So we're tasting a wine that's made from a grape called La Crosse, which was developed in Wisconsin in the late 1970s by a guy named Elmer Swenson. It's a very clean, crisp, dry white, bone dry, been aged in what are known as hybrid oak barrels. They're barrels made with American oak staves and French oak heads. So you'll get a fair bit of oak on the nose, and it's a little bit more subtle on the palate.
And La Crosse itself has got Sauval Blanc lineage. So to me, you can distinctly taste that style of wine in it.
Okay.
And for those of us who, for the all the talk of the oak barrels and the Sauval lineage goes over your head, this is why a wine tasting is a great thing, because you can just decide whether or not you like it.
So how did the event come about? By the way, we're talking about the Wines of Washington County event, which happens this Saturday from 2 to 6 at the Greenwich Free Library right on Main Street in Greenwich. Admission is free, and there'll be wine there to taste. Okay.
So, well, this all got started, actually, I was talking with Kathleen Weber, Andy's wife, and years ago at a party she had mentioned, oh, yeah, we're putting in grapes, and I thought, oh, nice hobby. Well, it turns out, and then I had heard somewhere that Jerry's, they had a vineyard, they were doing tastings, and Kathleen and I started talking about having a wine education program. It got postponed a little. We ended up having a paint and sip where Kathleen brought their wines, and it was incredibly popular. Their wine
was
really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I sort of leapt into that without having tasted the wine, which was probably a poor choice, except it turned out to all be really good. So I
lucked
out.
Yeah, we like when you're sober.
Well, and then so for this, I actually, you know, I was a good librarian. I'm very dedicated to my job.
I like you when you're a little hammered, too, but that's all right.
Went and did research. I'm trying to be professional. So I went to everybody's wineries and got a chance to talk to them and see what they have. And it's just a wonderful resource, both for the tourism, but also knowing the education of, I like to drink a nice glass of wine with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But I still remember very clearly an event I went to for librarians discussing how to help people navigate a library. And the woman started and she put up a big slide of a wine store wall. And there was this gasp in the room of librarians of sort of recognition and shame. Like, oh, confusion, ignorance. We don't know where to go or how to start.
Yes.
And to start by actually talking to somebody and drinking the wine and seeing what you like, I think that's the best way to do it.
And obviously also to be able to do it locally is
exactly.
is all the more fun. I forget don't think less of me, Jerry. I forget that we're doing wine tasting and not beer, which we often – and scotch, which we often do on the show, because I just guzzled. Do this whole tasting thing. I know you have water and crackers and all of that. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I did a shot. Oh, that sounds great. Okay. So now next up on the big hit parade is it Charlotte or Charlotte?
Charlotte.
Okay.
It's a German-style white wine that we make – with a grape called La Crescent.
All right.
So this is going to be very fruity and aromatic.
Fruity and aromatic. And we'll get you, once you're not pouring, we'll get you back on mic here.
Thank you.
And La Crescent's got some great flavors in the field. Yeah, I mean, it's got such distinct apricot that it's surprising to taste it out there.
Now, we would find you would have a Charlotte as well.
So actually, the grape is La Crescent.
Okay, right? You have a La Crescent.
But yes, we have La Crescent also.
Okay.
So our bottles are labeled with either Marquette or La Crosse or Frontenac, which is the grape itself.
The grape.
And Jerry's got a good spin on it with trying to take, listen, this is our vineyard is in this historic place, and he's got all these great historic names that he's got for his bottles.
Now, do they taste distinctly different, or is the grape the grape?
There is a difference, definitely, between the vineyards. And it's as subtle as just, I noticed between ours and Jerry's, I mean, there's a couple, maybe 100 feet elevation difference, but
right.
We're about a week behind Jerry's. His is all southern slope, mine is northern slope, so that's some of it. But in the springtime, I can see the difference between the vines. And then just soil type, too. I mean, I think Bernardston is the predominant soil type, but still the way the drainage is, the way the soil's been cared for, fundamentally over the years.
What is the soil type?
It's called Bernardston. So this is what was
late. Did you know we had a soil type?
I actually have a horticulture background.
Oh, okay. So. I had no idea we had a soil type.
Yeah,
it's rocky.
We have several.
It's rocky, that's true. What I know.
Well, we definitely have lots of rocks in our vineyard, and that's why the first wine you tasted we call Fieldstone.
Yeah.
We took a lot of stone out of the field
to
put the vineyard in. But what Annie's describing is what the French would call terroir.
Exactly.
And it's a way that the vine and the grape integrates the microclimate, the soil type, the growing season, and the way it's handled in the winery to create its own unique flavor for that wine of that place.
Wines of Washington County will be, the event will be happening at the Greenwich Free Library 2 to 6 on Saturday, November 14th. Admission is free, and then you can taste the wines, and then you can even, you know, purchase a glass or a bottle or do all that good stuff. I have a question. Let me try this first. Hold on.
While he's drinking, I will say, as a relatively ignorant consumer,
yes.
There is a definite difference among the same grapes, among the same wines, between the vineyards. And that's part of what makes it fun to go and see them at their places and try them all.
And so how does that typically work when you go on a wine trail and you come to Washington County, you get a map, and then you're all basically open at the same time and you can go and check? Is that
We're
how
that essentially
works?
All open on weekends.
Yes.
Saturdays and Sundays are our prime times, and we also do appointments for groups, and we'll do
wine by appointment.
Exactly. And
really
we tend to be open
Joe.
More around the holidays as well.
That's great. And it's going well. I mean, can you make a living?
At the scale we're doing it, it would be very difficult to make a standalone living at it.
Yeah.
But can you make a profit? Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Okay. It's worth it.
Yeah, and it's just fabulous working with all the people that come. You know, it's amazing to sit and talk with them for an hour or so about them, their lives. They get to be part of the winery. You get to know them on Facebook. You get to meet people that have moved away, now have come back, and are, you can say, oh, yeah, I used to live in that house over there. I'm like, oh, yeah, I drive by that house every day.
Right.
That's absolutely the best part of this business, is having somebody in your tasting room that you get to look at and to know as a person, not just as a customer, and you share life experiences and talk about why you like wine and what you love about wine. It's just a great experience on both sides of the tasting bar.
Well, it's at the Greenwich Free Library and 21 and over, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 20. We'll card you at the door.
Yeah.
We have an attack dog named Sophie.
Yeah.
That's great. And all of it, admission is free, and it'll just be a wonderful event happening this Saturday from 2 to 6, Saturday, November 14th at the Greenwich Free Library. And you can find out more by going to the website, which I should know, but I don't.
Which is www.greenwichfreelibrary.org.
Okay, maybe I didn't know that. And Annie Miller, thank you very much for doing such a great event and for making this possible. Thank you. Also, thanks to Andrew Weber of Northern Cross Vineyard and Jerry Barnhart of Victory View Vineyard. A great pleasure to have you both with us.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Best of luck. Have a great time. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.